Welcome to the Tweet Trends Podcast. Hey, Yvette, what's trending today?
Hey, I'm Yvette.
Hey, girl.
And you are tuned into Tweet Trends. It's the quickest way to find out what's trending today. What would you do? Let's get started. Hey there, welcome back to Tweet Trends. So the other day, we talked about friends and whether or not they had your back. Today, I said I was going to talk about strangers. And the bottom line is, what would you do if you saw something happening to somebody? Would you come to their rescue, or would you just kind of act like you didn't see it and walk on by? Now, this topic comes up because there was a young lady. She's a Somali refugee. She's in Texas somewhere. And what happened to her was a man approached her. According to her story, a man approached her and asked her for her phone number. She told him no, and he picked up a brick and hit her in the face. And there were other people around, and they saw this happen. They saw what the man did, and he did it. He got in his car and he left, and nobody helped her. And so in the aftermath of all of that, she was upset with the people out there, and she proceeded to videotape herself, basically chastising the people around her, saying, "How could you let this man hit me in the face and nobody come to my rescue, come to help me out, come to save me," or whatever. And that is the big question. What would you do? So, having said all of that, I had to bring my partner in crime here with me for this discussion because I've got some key questions for him. So, hey, Wynn.
Hey, how you doing today? Hey, Tweet Trends family.
Hey, I'm good. So I sent you the article about the young lady.
Yes.
And what was your first thought about it?
It was another what in the world moment. People losing their minds type thing. Just the audacity of the event was tough. But for her to have the presence of mind to record herself and to record the events in the immediate aftermath, I thought was good.
So the key question, though, is should the people have jumped in and done something?
So this thing here, like a good old onion, as Shrek says, has many layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
Once that event happens, that toothpaste is out of the tube. And at that point, it's what do you do in regards to triage? Does she need assistance? Does she have a concussion? Where's the nearest first aid? All those types of things. People are crazy. And so, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of self-care, but people are more concerned with themselves than they are with what other people are doing and how others are being treated. And so I think they saw that and he got in his car and left, and nobody probably got a license plate or a description of the car, all those things that could help identify this person. I just don't know they were that present to do that.
I would be surprised if nobody took their phone out. You know, everybody nowadays wants to be a social media superstar. And if they can catch something that's going to catch everybody's attention, get lots of views and likes or whatever, then they're on it, doggone it.
True. Well, and at the time of her video, we don't know that any of that stuff was in action. We don't know that somebody had taken that info and had given it to the cops or whatever. We got her very visceral and out, you know, just, and rightfully so, you know, immediate reaction to what happened to her just based on what took place. So the likelihood that some of this stuff could have happened, I mean, there's a possibility, right? We just don't know that for sure. That being said, none of that stuff in the aftermath was going to fix that situation. So it's a tough spot, right? Which is why I said the many layers. The many layers are whoever that person is that he was so intrigued by her to ask her for her number, but is also so internally disturbed that upon getting a no, in whatever form she gave it, she could have been a polite no. Oh, I'm sorry. No, thank you. She could have been a, man, if you don't get the fuck out of my face type of no. Whatever that answer is, it's words, right? And it's her space and her right to say no in the manner in which she chooses, because we don't know what was going on with her during that day up to that point. So to try to say, oh, if she had said it this way and that way, I don't subscribe to that at all. Mm-mm. She said no, no is no, kick rocks, bud, keep it moving. And so to feel that you wanted to know this lady potentially, but that you would turn and throw a brick and hit her in the side of the head, in the side of the face, it's unconscionable. Because if you would do that to somebody that you don't know, you know, is this the seed to what a domestic abuse relationship is? You know, who knows, right? That's another layer of the onion and rabbit hole that we can go down. But that's the root cause, right? That something was wrong with that person to where they felt that that was the solution for them in that moment. And then the run, right? Like, not only did you, one, hit a girl, but you hit a girl with a brick in the side of the head, and then you took off, right? Just all overall, many levels of cowardice.
I agree. So you mentioned how the guy reacted upon being rejected by this young lady. And I have to admit, growing up, I was always, it wasn't even just a little scared. I was terrified of something like that happening to me, because on so many occasions, I had seen situations where a guy is trying to talk to a girl. The girl says no thanks, however way she chooses to say it. And guys would lose their minds. It would be the whole, well, you wasn't that cute anyway, and all of this other stuff. And I was terrified of that happening. So I'd gotten to a point where if a guy had the nerve to say something to me, I would humor him in conversation. I would hold a conversation, and there were times that maybe I gave a fake name, or I can't say that I ever gave out a fake phone number, because I don't know that I was ever thinking that fast on my feet to make up a number. And, you know, I don't think I ever did that. Not to say that I didn't actually give my real number and just not answer. There, I've had people in my phone listed as do not answer. But that we have a daughter. What is the right way? Because I don't know that I know the right way to navigate this. Like, what do you tell your daughters out there as far as dealing with these people? Because like you said, there's a mental health situation out there, and there are a lot of people that got a little something going on that they could probably use a little bit of help with, but nobody's making people go and get help. So what do you do?
So you touch on some key points that as a guy, I can't wrap my head around your own personal experience, because I have not lived the experience of what you described. Now, that's not to say that I haven't asked for a number or was intrigued by somebody at some point to then get a no or rejection. And in my head, I might have thought, like, well, I didn't want to talk to you anyway. Like, you, but I know that that response is a self-healing, self-soothing, a pick yourself up because you got rejected type response, right? The very nature of you asking for a number or asking whatever the question was to engage in conversation says that there was some sort of intrigue there. So to turn around and lie to yourself about the other piece is just what it is. It's a fallacy. I do not subscribe to acquiesce into someone else's whims about them wanting to talk to me simply because of the fear. So that's one thing that, you know, whether it's for this episode or not, you'd have to dive in a little bit deeper in yourself, because that fear has to come from somewhere, right? And in some of my studies, you know, fear can be hereditary, right? I look at Crocodile Dundee's kids. They out there wrestling alligators and stingrays. Even after their father has passed, I say Crocodile Dundee. What's that dude's name? Was it? No, Crocodile Dundee.
No, was that in the is movie. Who it was.
Steve. Steve, Hunt, oh gosh.
It wasn't Crocodile Dundee?
No, Crocodile Dundee was the movie. It's Steve, what's his name? The Alligator Hunter or something like that. Man, these doggone shows. Anyway, that dude, the actual Australian guy, not from the movie, because that's Crocodile Dundee, but not from the movie, Steve, good gracious, whatever his name and title was. But anyway, that gentleman, his kids are not afraid to, they're doing some of the very things that he did and that he even succumbed to. He got hit with a stingray in the chest or something like that and perished. But they're not fearful of that. And so I think in his DNA that he passed on to them, they don't have that fear. I said all of that and misrepresented the movie and the show and all that stuff to say that for you, somewhere in your lineage, in your DNA, there was a fear of something like that, that at such an age you would have a visceral reaction, that you would embody that, like seeing that happen to someone else didn't put you in a spot of like, man, that sucked for them. You internalize that to go like, oh my gosh, that could happen to me.
And yeah, because that's what they teach you in church. It's like what God can do for others, he can do for you. Oh, and gosh, the same thing goes for the bad stuff.
Okay, well, we went to different churches growing up. So I ain't get the...
God is no respecter of persons.
I must have been asleep during that lesson.
I'm just saying, it's like... So you're saying it's in my DNA.
I think it has to be, right? Like, there's no other tangible reason for me to see why you would internalize that type of response so much to succumb to somebody that you don't even know. Like, I don't know you. Back up.
Because I've seen people get dissed and dismissed horribly.
And when they got dissed and dismissed, they were in a better place because they did not have to tolerate that person and that boorish behavior for any amount of time. That person just showed their ass. Was this PG? That's it. What type of show you got going on here?
I don't know. It depends on what you're about to say.
These mother cutters. I'm just saying that if that person shows their tail to that degree, you have shown me all I need to know that I not only do I not want to give you my number, anybody else I know who might talk to you, I'm going to tell them to stay away from you. That's what you just did. You just showed me that you ain't worthy of me, my time, anybody I know. And it's unfortunate of what happened to her. So I'm not trying to make light of that and say, well, you know, she's got this, you know, injury that's occurred to her. Because that's tragic, right? That's unfortunate. But that's criminal. And so I just can't see acquiescing to someone else's whims for potential criminal behavior. Like, that's not how our society should be. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm trying to make some sort of utopia that it's all your puppies and kittens and rainbows and stuff like that. But maybe the move is to keep people at a distance from you, right? Maybe the move is to not be in that kind of proximity of people, or that you can kind of be aware that that sort of stuff happens. Or our day and age now, you can just put earbuds in and pretend as if you're on a phone call and like you didn't hear them. You can hear them clearly, But you are engaged in a phone call and you really didn't hear them, and they'll probably, okay, she must be talking to somebody. She ain't hear me. And they can play it off to self-soothe themselves or to help their ego. But that's what it's about. His ego was hurt. He was probably around some people. And this ain't no Michael Jackson video where he just got the, hey, and then everybody's stopping like, ooh, look at him. You know, type of thing. The way you make me feel. No. Am I going out the rails?
No. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying. But it ain't that type of scene where his feelings got hurt and he reacted for whatever reason, right? Hurt people hurt people. So whatever he's going through internally, whatever that little exchange caused his little feelings to get hurt, it still doesn't justify what he did, nor does it justify why you or anybody like you should be in a space to have to give a name, real or fake, to have to give a number, real or fake, to make idle chit-chat, real or fake, just to make it okay to get out of that situation. On the flip side, I do agree with getting out of a situation safely, right? And so that's the real part that has to come into play, and why I say it's not a utopia of just, hey, you know, tell them what you want and roll with it. Like, yeah, you got to have some survival instincts and be able to say, okay, it's dimly lit. There's some other people around. In this lady's case, there were other people around. It didn't stop the event from happening. But, you know, who knows what's to come from that? Who else was able to give a description, help get this guy off the streets? I hope that she can heal. I hope that she didn't have a traumatic brain injury, concussion, or anything like that. And like I say, that's unfortunate. But I hope that her story can help other women know how to move in that type of space.
Now, we've been around the world, did a Lisa Stansfield move. We talked about Steve Irwin, also known as Crocodile Dundee.
That's not his name. You know what I mean.
I know. You know what I mean. But so, I think the hard part about the whole thing is the fact that no two situations are going to be the same.
Correct.
And that's the part that bothers me with us having a daughter and trying to, I guess, get her to a place where she's street smart, where she can navigate that type of a situation.
Right. But there's another element to it. Right, that you've already shared, you know, with me, is that you guys being empaths, that there's a feeling that you apparently get of pain, like for her to hear somebody else cry, right? She can't just continue what she's doing. It's like she has to turn towards that and see what's going on, right? Like somebody's pain. And so unfortunately for me, I feel like that is that's a challenge, you know, as her dad. It's kind of like, hey, this isn't our situation right here. Like, if it's a kid in a store, like you've seen, their mom or dad is there, you know, they're handling that situation. We don't need to help with that. We can't stop what we're doing to go to that. So I just feel like there's a relationship there for her, that being in a space where she might feel someone is hurt, even though they may be feigning it, or, you know, just kind of going through the motion, like, you know, oh, I feel bad. I feel like her not wanting people to feel hurt may put her in a vulnerable spot. So that's why I have to lean on you in that position to say, okay, you've been a little girl before. What is that like for you? Right. And so as you've shared your own experiences here thus far and other experiences, that's where the solution for tomorrow is born out of. She still isn't going to be a cookie cutter, you know, version of you, although very close. But I say what I said.
Wow.
But still, you know, it's totally different than what I recall as being a little boy, right? That's just not the world that I lived in.
Well, so, but I'm turning to you in this situation because clearly I've already explained what my solution was, and that got me to where I am today. I mean, and so, and actually when you think about it, the whole reason why we're together, how we met, is a situation like this.
Right.
I was walking out of the mall, and out of nowhere was this man And he's just like right there. And it's like, you know, hey, baby, what you got in that bag for me? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And a guy walked out of the mall behind me and was like, hey, man, leave my lady alone. And the guy immediately was like, oh, my bad, my bad. And this stranger that just saved me from the derelict outside of the mall walked me to my car. And I mean, I was shook. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. I was shook. And to the point where I just kind of wandered out into the parking lot. I did not remember where my car was. And so it took us a little minute to find it because we were just like wandering around. I'm like, hold on, give me a second. Let me pull myself together because I don't even remember where I parked. But it just so happens then from that encounter, that meeting with this guy, then not knowing he was a friend of yours and we got married.
Editor's note. Yeah. We didn't get married because she couldn't say no to me. At least I hope. I don't know.
You weren't the derelict outside of the mall.
Anywho, I'm simply saying that the visceral reaction that you shared, that you had, the oh my gosh, that has to be discussed, that has to be expressed, that has to be put onto the table for discussion, in the sense that we do stranger danger type talks with her, like, hey, you don't talk to strangers, or in a situation, look to us, and we'll either nod, yep, like, okay, it's okay to say something, or keep it moving, right? So it has to kind of be that type of process to say, hey, this isn't appropriate, you know, this isn't okay. Don't feel that you have to engage every person with that type of situation, right? I just don't think that's realistic. But again, I don't come from your experience.
Right. I don't expect you to, but you're the daddy. So.
Well, then I'm going to give a doggone, you know, bottle of mace and be like, oh, yeah, here's my number. And spray him in the face. And run. Like, I don't know what else to say to that, because again, just she's gonna be literal anyway. So getting her to understand, hey, this is the right, and there's a right and wrong way to handle those situations, and you know, the bottom line is her safety is what's paramount, right? So keep your head on the swivel, minimize being in situations isolated, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that's good for every and anybody. In college, we were always on the buddy system, that it was at least always two of us in a place at the same time looking out for each other. So that goes to the friend conversation, that we had each other's backs. It's just that whole idea of getting caught off guard by that person, you know. They don't do the psst thing anymore, do they?
The what?
The air out of the tire, psst, psst.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, do they do that?
It's been a while since I hollered at somebody. That's kind of frowned upon.
Good answer.
It's kind of frowned upon. Do they do that? I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, just trying to think of, like, how do you even set it up? Because to me, just like with everything else, there has to be a discussion.
Yeah.
Like, we've had the discussions with her, you know, just asking random questions. Hey, so if an adult comes to you and is like, hey, I lost my puppy, what, will you help me find them? You know, we had to go through that because she was like, oh, that's so sad. Yeah, we'd have to go. No, wrong answer. Right. So, you know, I feel like we'll have to set up some scenarios and kind of just start quizzing about that as well.
Yeah. Well, so I think that, and again, I'm not saying that whatever this lady's experience was, that she didn't have an awareness, she didn't have just all those different things. Like, anytime you're talking about a way to do something better, the intent is not to make light of what that other person went through or experienced. but it's to learn from it and to say, okay, does that mean that she needs to have a, that Bree needs to have a self-defense course? Okay, maybe. You know, do you have, I definitely think she needs awareness, because I think there's times that in devices or just walking, she doesn't have her head on the swivel to see what's around her. And I think that's part of the challenge. So that's the thing for you. Did you have your head on a swivel? Were you aware of your surroundings and aware of people approaching you? And I think that for me is the start, right? That's a root cause thing. You know, I'm constantly aware of who's approaching, what are they looking like, you know, what are they doing, and what's my exit strategy.
I guess the exit strategy is the thing that's gonna be the goal.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't have to be doom and gloom. You know, there's crazy people everywhere, right? And you just never know when those moments arise. So just being aware that, hey, this is part of reality, unfortunately, in our society right now. The only way it gets better is if you know, people are raising their kids better, and if people are looking internally at themselves and say, hey, she told me no, this ain't the end of the world, you know, keep it moving, right? Like, that, how much time we got? You got enough time? So that scenario that I told you about in California, where I met this person and like, oh, the person's pretty cool and so forth and so on. But then just based on a comment that I made, you know, we'd exchanged numbers and whatnot and had talked and so forth and so on. But then based on a comment that I made out of jest, you know, she made the comment the next day like, hey, you know, I really wasn't feeling what you said. You can lose my number. Have a nice life. So I laugh about that. I couldn't tell you her name. I couldn't pull her out of a police lineup today. But it was funny to me because it was so, like, have a nice life. Like, whatever else you do in this world, don't reach out to me again. And that was tough because it was like, I was stuck more so on the comment that I made, not so much that she said she didn't want to talk to me no more. I was okay with that. But it was the, like, oh, for that comment, have a nice life. Like, wow, that's crazy. So I laugh about it. And you know, depending on the scenario, if I'm mentoring kids, we'll share certain elements of that story, basically kind of say like, hey, it's going to be all right. Like this moment may seem tough, no matter how you had your hopes up or thought that was the one, but it wasn't. And it's okay. Right. So don't put yourself in a spot. Don't injure anybody, harm anybody, as to where, you know, you may jeopardize your future, but it's going to be all right.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode. You know, one of the things that I read recently, and actually through the sorority, we're putting together a self-defense course for young ladies on a college campus, because one of the things that was said is that boys aren't taught how to accept rejection, I guess. But I'd like to think they're still being taught to not hit girls and to just be kind.
Well, they are in certain households, but I think that there are other households. People who have issues with feminists, I don't think it's being taught in their households. Because it's like, oh, well, if they want equal treatment, then you treat them equally. You know, it's some nonsense like that. So I don't see it there.
That's true. So I guess bottom line is that parents of whatever, girls or boys, or non-binary,
whatever they... Parents of children.
Yes. If you are the parent of a child, then it's up to you, one, to raise your children to respect others. But then you also have to make them aware of the dangers out there in the world and the things that they could possibly run into, and just kind of help them navigate that space. And you can't give them an example of every type of situation that they'll run into, but to give them some type of...
You got to give them a starting point. Give them some foundation.
Right, foundation. That's perfect. They need a foundation to build off of. And then I think from there, they'd be better equipped to navigate whatever might be thrown at them.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Well, all right. So there you have it. You know where to find me. That place that used to be called Twitter. Really? That place, X, and Instagram at Hey Yvette. That's at HEYEVETTE.
Aren't you on Threads?
So, by next week, I'll be on Threads. I'm there, but I'm not. I just haven't taken the time to look at it. But, yeah. Either way, it's still going to be at Hey Yvette or hashtag Tweet Trends. You know, I feel like I even need to change that, you know, but...
It'd be X Trends?
No. No. Thinking about just kicking them to the curb and, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, they call it posts now. They don't call it tweets anymore. They call it posts, repost, instead of retweets.
Thank you.
Ooh, man. This might be the last time y'all hear me on this one, the way I just got looked at by the executive producer. So thanks for having me, family. Y'all be good out there. We'll see if I get invited back to next time.
Thanks for joining us on Tweet Trends.